While you listen to Bet Cozzy and Limo, imagine you were laying poolside in the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery's $3 million Somerton Park home. Yep, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Homelottery.com.au. Bet Cozzy and
Limo, SAFM. Now, Beck, what's Ash Barty doing now?
Yes, she has just been appointed the Chief of Inspiration at Optus.
That's one hell of a job title, Chief of Inspiration, which coincidentally is what I am here. Did you guys know I'm the Chief of Inspiration?
Hey?
Here at SAFM?
Really?
No, I haven't seen your business cards. But,
well, you guys wouldn't have phoned in here. If you phone SAFM and you go through to the message bank, you get my message.
Oh.
Here, which I recorded as the Chief of Inspiration.
Should we listen?
Are there any,
I believe we've got
yeah,
it here.
Absolutely.
Hello, and thank you for calling SAFM. We are so excited that you decided to pick up the phone and call us. You are so amazing and strong, and you inspire us to do what we do every day. You are the best, and we are blessed that you are part of our family.
Yeah.
Press 1 to hear how beautiful you are. Press 2 to hear how smart you are. Press 3 to hear how funny you are. Press 4 to hear how charming you are. Press 5 and Cozzy will guarantee your financial freedom. Press 6 and Beck will tell you to get off the phone, stop wasting our time and take a long, hard look at yourself. Thanks for calling SAFM.
So there we go. So that's what you get if you phone through here at SAFM. As the head of inspiration.
Why wasn't I asked to apply for that role?
We'd love to hear from you, though, on 13 10 60.
Gemma's on the line from Parry Hills. What do you do for a quid, Gemma?
So I'm a personal care worker in aged care.
Okay. Now we're going to come up with fancy job titles
yes.
for your job. So
okay.
we're asking people, 13, 10, 60, phone through, tell us what your job is and we'll give you the fancy job title.
All right. Gemma, I am hereby declaring you to be a senior human preservation manager.
Oh, senior human preservation.
Thanks for the
manager,
giggle, Gemma.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Cozzy and Limo gave me donuts.
I was thinking, we've got one word the same. I went for life preservation officer.
Oh, did you look at my notes?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. I had gatherer of oldies and colostomy bags.
Respectful to the elderly, Cozzy, but anyway.
Feel free to use one of those titles if you're printing out some new business cards anytime soon.
It is right. funny when you go, like, when you sort of, because we don't really have a business title here at SAFM, do we? I guess, or breakfast
I host. Think we're called announcers on our email signature. Mm. I'm a breakfast announcer.
Are you?
Debbie in Holden Hill, what's your job?
Lunch van driver.
Lunch van driver? No, you're not, Debbie. You're a sustenance distribution executive.
Well, that's good.
Oh, I like that. I went chief executive of delivery in the sandwich division.
Not bad.
Debbie, you're a lunch van driver. I had you down as the tuck shop truck stop queen.
Oh,
beautiful.
There you
yeah,
go.
It's not really a title for me.
You had a little gag in there, though. That's good. I liked it.
There you go. A few options there for your business card, Debbie. Let's go to Christy in Modbury Heights.
I haven't thought of anything for that.
Christy, what's your job?
I'm a funeral director.
Okay. No, you're not. You're the death wish deliverer.
Oh.
Death wish deliverer.
Oh, I don't know if that's...
eternity matchmaker.
Well, it's not Tinder for coffins.
Oh.
No. Christy delivers people to eternity.
Oh.
So eternity matchmaker? I don't have one.
That's okay.
You're the one who's sitting here insisting we do funeral director.
That's okay, Beck. We'll stay with you until you think of one. You're the bed, please.
Tissue distributor.
Tissue distributor?
I didn't have one. That's what they do. It's a very important role.
Anyway, Christy, couple of options.
When I say I don't have anything, I'm not kidding.
Okay.
No one likes you when you're snappy, mate.
Couple of options.
Well, you embarrassed me.
No. Oh, you did that yourself.
Turn their mics off, John, please.
Yes,
turn their mics
yes,
off, Christy. Thank you. Alex in Port Wakefield, what do you do?
Hi, I sell mattresses, so I'm a senior salesperson.
Senior salesperson in the bedding industry. Well, I would say you're a rejuvenation coordinator, Alex.
Oh, I like that.
I would say you're a horizontal activity consultant.
Oh!
I just said that you're a better seller.
Yeah, good.
Better seller, right? Yeah. Okay,
yes.
Alex,
a
few options there for you, Alex, for the next lot of business cards.
Can we just go back to Alex for a second? How is the bedding industry, mate? Is it busy?
Yeah, it has been. It's been so flat out.
Yeah. Good one, yeah, Alex.
That's good. Doing gear. She doesn't even know it.
Leave the jokes to us, Alex.
she starts Monday.
Exactly. Get her number. Millie in Stirling, what's your job?
I work in childcare looking after little toddlers.
Okay, well, you're not a childcare worker, Millie. You're the general manager of Tiny Human Distraction.
I like.
Have you got one, Cos?
Not really.
Oh, okay. All right, this is easy, Millie. You are a saint, a queen, and a superhero.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
There you go. A few options there for you, Millie.
Let's go northbound to Nitch out there at Craigmore. G'day, buddy.
Howdy, how are you?
Nitch, what do you do for a job?
I'm a traffic controller.
Okay. I would define you as a manager of vehicle movement and sign holding. I didn't really have a good one for that one, Nitch.
I was going to say vehicle management executive, but I'm looking. Traffic controller, Nitch, I'm going to say you're the natural enemy of Rebecca Morse.
And I don't know. I was just thinking.
You don't have one.
Well, no, but I just see that you're from the northern suburbs. I was just going to say cone distributor, but then I think that's.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
High stress at our house last night. So I'm out at a gig last night. Kel and Lad go around to a friend's place for dinner.
Yep.
And then, so they're out of the house for about an hour, I guess. They get home. And Kel rings me in a panic after they've got home. She's like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. I could tell she's really upset and really stressed.
Yeah.
And I can hear Laddie in the background. He's a bit upset as well. I'm like, what's going on? They've gotten home to find that Bunny, the staffy, has jumped up onto the dining room table and gotten into a package that someone had delivered to me.
So ahead it's your of, fault?
Yeah, ahead of Father's Day, and eaten half a kilogram of raspberry bullets and chocolate-covered licorice.
Oh, see, for me, that's no big deal.
Half a kilo, right? So Kel starts stressing straight away because we know that chocolate is not good for dogs and licorice can also be toxic for dogs. So Kel's panicking. I said, okay, it's all right. Ring the 24-hour vet. Tell them exactly what she's eaten and then they'll tell you what to do next, right? So she rings the 24-hour vet. They say bring her in straight away. So we're like, so now it's kind of panic stations. So I'm at the gig and I started to really worry and I'm Googling, what harm can licorice do to your dog? What about chocolate?
What does it do?
It can be toxic for dogs.
Yeah.
So if they eat too much of it and it digests, the toxins can be really damaging. Can at the very least make them really sick, but the results can be even worse than that. So we're all stressing out. They go down to the vet. So she's got to take Laddie with her. So they're down at the vet. And then Kel was ringing me saying that someone else got here after us and they've just gone in ahead of us. And then Kel's complaining and they're saying, well, the triage nurse assessed both of them. And then
Dog ate more licorice than yours.
You're thinking, what am I going to do for Father's Day now? I don't have my chocolate licorice.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was a concern. And
How old are you when there's that much licorice at your house?
You're getting on, I tell you. You're not leaving the house much. And eventually they take her in and they had to pump her stomach.
Dramatic.
Yes.
Wow.
They said, because they looked at Kel took the packets of licorice in, what was left, so they could see, and they ended up pumping her stomach, the poor little thing.
What about if when she gave the vets the packets of licorice, they went, no thanks, I'm trying to sort out this stuff.
Just a thank you for the work.
I don't mind if I do. Now, what's the problem?
There's a bit of dog slobber on the edges of the licorice containers. So then they get her back and they've pumped her stomach to get it all out of the system.
Yeah.
And the vet showed Kel a picture. It's like, she said, staffies are such gutses. She said he could almost repackage it. She chewed nothing. Everything was inhaled whole, right? And then she goes home. And anyway, Kel had to give Bunny a charcoal tablet, which helps clear out
neutralize
the system.
The guts.
But we've got this white rug in the lounge room. So Kel, I get home from a gig last night. Kel's covered the lounge room in garbage bags. So, in case she gets up and has a vomit or not, there you go. I'll show you.
Oh, wow, like picture. Black Glad bags all over the floor.
Yeah, that's all over the white rug in case the dog has a vomit during the night.
Wow.
Any danger of the dog vomiting after it ate the licorice?
Yeah, I know, yeah. That would have helped at the time.
Can I ask how much it costs to pump a dog's stomach, or is that personal? You don't have to answer.
Well, that's the vet. I mean, vets are cheap, as we know.
Yeah.
Particularly the 24-hour vet. I mean, it's almost free. It's almost free. It was actually, I did breathe a little sigh of relief because I was waiting for something wild. $359.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, that's not bad.
I was honestly bracing for something up near $1,000.
In fact, next time I go through the drive-thru twice at McDonald's and feel pretty bloated for $359, I might get it empty.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Oh, hang on.
Cozzy's got a question.
Okay.
Cozzy's got a question and it's kind of
What? Why does everyone else get a really nice opener and mine infers that every question I ask is S-H-I-T?
They're kind of off-centre, your questions.
I've got a very interesting question. Okay. And if you're listening right now, especially if you work in like the medical field, like a doctor, nurse, lots of nurses listen to our show, you might be able to answer this question for me. I want to know, have you ever heard of or seen someone wake up during surgery? Because you hear a little bit about it, but like, have you ever been anywhere as a nurse or a doctor where you've gone, oh, geez, that person's waking up? And what did they say? What did they do? What were they having done? 131060, give us a buzz. Or maybe you were in the surgery yourself.
Give us a go. I'd love these stories. I wouldn't love them to happen to me.
Yeah. The anaesthetist. Like, too little and they wake up, too much and they're dead. I mean, that's a really responsible job to have.
It's almost like you need 6 years at uni and another 10 years of training before you get that.
But
job.
Also, how do they do that at uni? All right, guys, we'll just have a bit of a practice.
that one's dead.
Oh, God. Thanks so much to Shane from the Riverland. He's given us a buzz. Hey, what part of the Riverland are you from, mate?
I'm from Barry, but I work in Loxton.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right. Hey, whereabouts in Loxton, Shane? It's my home turf.
So I work at Loxton Hotel. I'm breakfast chef at the Loxton Hotel.
Oh, right. There you go.
Okay, mate. What's to go with the surgery?
So I went in for the good old snippy snip going back a couple of years ago.
Good man.
And never been knocked out under any anaesthetic whatsoever. And I remember waking up and literally seeing the anaesthetist and the doctor, and they're going, oh, he's awake, and next minute I'm back out again.
Oh right. Hey, mate, for a vasectomy, do they knock you right out? I thought they just gave you a jab in the Jats crackers.
No, you can have it three ways. You can either have the local, you can have it like half and half where you're semi in limbo, like, or you can be completely... Or you could be completely knocked out. And I'm like, no, I want to be completely knocked out. I don't want to know what's going on.
When you say you can have it three ways, I just picture you, Shane, walking into the hospital there at Barry, and they give you like a menu. Oh, good afternoon, Shane. You can have this three ways. Would you like the...
Entree and dessert. Which one do you want?
There we go. The idea of a local when you're getting a vasectomy is like,
where do they put that needle?
Thanks.
You haven't had a vasectomy, have you, Limo?
No, I have not.
I just don't know.
It's no reflection on your masculinity. We've had a fight about this before. I think it's fine. It's great.
I'm sorry.
Until a man takes responsibility.
Heinous. You can't comment on that.
I don't.
Can I ask Shane if he felt any pain?
Shane,
when you woke up, did you feel any pain?
No, not really. I think it was that quick. My body didn't have time to react to it, but it was the whole fact that when I came out of the anaesthetic, I'm like, was I dreaming or did I actually wake up? And I'm like, no, you woke up for about 5 seconds and then they put me, and then it was like literally they turned it back up again and I was straight out again.
Wow. Did you see anything, mate? Like, did you look down or?
No, I couldn't see nothing because basically I was spread eagle, mate. So that'd be tough over me. I was spread eagle and that was it.
The last thing you want to see is a giggling doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Guys, the universe has given me a very, very strong sign that I am not cut out for ironing. I will never iron again.
What's happened?
I'm quit ironing.
Right. Is it the creases in all your clothes? Is that the...
Well, I've had a bit of a saga with crinkle and crease removal in my house.
Clothing or face?
Is that ironing? Is that another way of saying ironing?
Yes. but also steaming. That's why I didn't say ironing.
Steaming,
because, as you know, I asked for a steamer for Christmas a couple of years ago.
And you have a steamer at home, don't you?
I have a steamer. Yeah.
Question, what's a steamer do that an iron doesn't? Or why?
Well, it's just quicker and easier because you don't have to get the ironing board out. You just hang your thing and then you go,
Do you prefer to steam?
Yeah, but then you're not listening because remember a couple of weeks ago before your big Santa event, I got my formal dress out and the steamer just spat dirt and that's grease and old.
Oh, right. I thought you meant your dress from your formal, like in year 12.
Anyway, so I've had to retire the steamer. So then yesterday I got the iron out because I have a new pair of cargos and they look particularly creased. And I thought, there's no way I can get away with not ironing these cargos or I'll look like I've slept in a dumpster again. Most clothes I wear are iron free. James takes his business shirts before you ask if I iron his shirts to Carl Shahadi. Pays however much.
Ching ching.
Yeah. Throws money at that problem. So it's very. I might get the iron out annually, and it's usually to iron the kids' uniforms for the school photos.
First-time listeners, what an interesting insight as to how you and where you get your shirts ironed. What absolutely fascinating. Please do continue.
Well, I can see in your face you're like, don't you iron for your husband? So yesterday it was the annual iron came out.
Wow.
And right. I was very... It takes a lot...
Was the iron happy to see you yesterday?
It was like, where have you been for the bath since school photo day last year? The ironing board is a strange contraption.
It is.
Really takes a long time to sort of get it up and it squirts as you put it up.
Well, that's because you haven't used it for a while.
And then I was in a bit of a hurry and so I left the ironing board up in a really busy thoroughfare between the kitchen and the toilet.
See, this is a, that's a big no-no in our
house. Still plugged in.
See, I'm the only one who irons in our house.
Oh, that's hot.
Well, thank
you. When I come over to my house and I'll work through a basket with you.
You should see me. And, there's no way I could leave the ironing board out. That would not be well received in our house.
So then I get home yesterday and the iron is on the ground next to the ironing board. Broken. Shattered.
Oh, no.
What?
Shattered.
It leapt off. It jumped itself.
Yeah. Grace owned up. No contrition. She said, you've had that iron since I was born.
Oh, yeah.
And that is actually true, and she's 19.
Yeah.
Right. Tried to put it back together because the base had kind of fallen off and the wires were exposed. I thought I can save this baby.
Suddenly you're like a mechanic.
Can't be saved.
Yeah, righto.
The iron is D-E-D.
What do you do with an iron when it dies after 19 years? Is there some sort of burial?
Yeah.
Remember when you buried that fish out the back of your house?
Yes. Yeah. No, I just went straight in the wheelie bin.
So straight to the wheelie? No wheelie. Farewell?
Which bin does an iron go in?
Well, it just went in the blue bin, like the normal household waste bin.
There's not a separate bin for iron.
There is at Beck's place.
I would have taken it to Bunnings in the electrical display.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Well, it's still at the top of my list. I'll fish it out.
It's just about looking after
you
the world.
So you need a new iron. Get a new iron.
I'm not getting one.
You're not getting
one? I'm going to live iron free.
So what is it?
I'm going to live with Kevin creases all over my clothes.
What about the ironing
dreams
board?
Dreams do come true.
What happens to the ironing board then?
Like maybe I need to... What bin does that go in? I don't know. I'm not going to be a middle-aged woman who goes to Meijer and buys a new iron. I'm not there. I'm not that person.
You know, but what about... So what happens on school photo day?
My kids are going to be wrinkled. Maybe I'll use the hair straightener.
Yeah. Hey, hang on. You've got a Japanese exchange student at the moment. What if she comes out with wrinkled clothes and says, I need to fix this up?
Good question.
Yeah. Well, at least you've, for the first time ever, admitted you're middle-aged.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Beck, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Here we go.
And he knows there's weight to be lost because his diet sucks. But you've got this, Cozzy,
Thanks for being both supportive and condescending in the opener. I told you guys how I'm on this campaign to try to lose some weight. I tell you, I'll be completely honest. I'm either going to lose weight or I'm going to have a gastric sleeve or a band or something. I've had a guts full of carrying a little bit too much weight.
Literally had a guts full. So you're trying to lose some weight. So what are you doing to lose weight?
Well, okay, so I started Monday.
Yeah.
Well, physically, I haven't done anything yet.
Oh, right. Hang on, didn't you see a personal trainer the other...
Oh, he cancelled. he just said, I just need your weight and your age and a photo, and then we'll get started. I sent him that, and he pulled out.
Okay. So much like climbing Everest, I guess.
You know when, I think it's Bunnings that say there's no job too big or small? Yeah. I think he went, that one's probably something that he can't do. That's fine, I'm sure we'll hook up again. Happy to say that on Tuesday, I had a massive day Tuesday, and I drove out to Fairview Park, and normally I get a bag of hot chips for my kind of lunch, right, which is obviously not massively healthy.
No.
Instead, I stopped at a fruit and veg shop. So I'm trying to change what I eat. That's what I'm trying to do.
When they saw you in the fruit and veg shop, were they confused?
Interesting point.
Yeah.
I won't name the shop, but it was the... it was the service wasn't very good. So I'm walking around there, and obviously it's a fruit and veg shop, so I got no idea, where to go. What are all these colourful things? Did you know kale's not just the boy's name? Anyway, so no one's even talking to me in the shop or anything like that. There was no, and then that's when I realised, I go, they're not interested in me in this shop because they think I'm too fat to buy fruit. Anyway, so I bought some bananas and some apples, and I wanted to stop and get some cashew nuts, which I did. I just wanted 100 grams. All they had was a 400-gram bag.
Oh.
Bought that.
Yep.
Ate the whole thing.
They're good fats, though. In the meeting the other day, Limo polished off a whole bowl of Cheezels.
Yeah.
I know.
That was disgusting. Well,
they're very Moorish.
Yeah.
Did you have a Cheezel?
No, I didn't. I had the one muesli bar in that
meeting.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do.
Also, avocado on toast when you were having roast chicken for breakfast in the studio for a while.
That's, yeah, you're right. Last week I had that side of beef for lunch. Yeah.
So you've made some good changes.
Yeah, because, you know, like with your weight, it's mostly about nutrition. Mm. Oh, great. Suddenly I'm giving advice.
Yeah.
No, but it's true. And lots of people right now listening wouldn't be happy with their weight. And I can tell you we're making a lot of jokes about it, but I'm very unhappy with my weight. Yeah. So I feel for everyone that's in the same situation. I'm trying to do something about it with, well, let's see what the results are. Anyway, so you guys have brought scales in
today.
We want
you to be accountable.
So your first weigh-in, what were you?
Well, this was Monday morning I weighed myself and naked and it was 141.5.
Okay.
Which is half a kilo or a kilo heavier than when I'm Biggest Loser.
Please don't be naked now.
Yes.
No. For consistency, yeah, just take your boots off.
Yeah. Take the boots
off. Also, well done, Coz, for doing this. I know it's you're a bit vulnerable to be doing this on air. So
you reckon I'm vulnerable? Ask the scales how they're feeling. But this is probably part of the thing we shouldn't joke about it so much. Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. This is the weigh-in.
All right, here we go.
Cos getting on the scales.
He's on the scales.
First weigh-in. The scale says one at a time, please.
You've got socks. You got to take. I think you've got to take your socks off.
It's not ready. Unless you're 8,888 kilograms.
Take your socks off. I think it's because
right, one. Hang on, no, here we go. This is all right.
All right, let's play the RBT. Okay. So think again.
Wait. Hang on, here we go. It's not settling. 130.1 kilograms.
What?
Hang it's on. You can't have lost 10 kilos.
Yeah! I've got it! Yes! I've lost 10 kilos in 3 days! Oh my god, I'd like to thank my mum! I'll meet you with Fugazi! I'm celebrating!
Hey, McDonald's, put some extra stuff on!
I don't know what's happened, but somehow
one of the scales
I'm
10 is wrong.
Kilos lighter with clothes on.
Okay.
All right.
A set of scales is broken. We don't know if it's these or the ones you got at home.
So good.
We need to do an investigation.
Oh, I hope it's the ones at home. Because then I'm not 141. Maybe it's the ones at home.
How to lose weight? Buy broken scales.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Beck's decided that she's taking an exchange student. Don't know why, but Beck is taking an exchange student. Apprehensive, but her daughter Miller made her do it. Beck's determined that she's taking an exchange student.
For 8 weeks, we will have a Japanese exchange student, Moe, living in our home. We're almost 3 weeks in. We are so lucky. Wow. She is an absolute delight.
Lucky.
She's polite.
Yep.
She takes her dishes to the sink.
And getting on well with everyone in the house.
Yeah, she's great. A real sweetheart.
What's something you've done or a moment you've had where you just go, wow, that's pretty cool?
Well, every time, I can't remember what the word is now, every time she sits down for dinner, she puts her hands together in prayer and says, Itaki washa or something, and it's like, thank you for this meal. It's not anyone who speaks Japanese.
That sounded like she said, do I have to do the washer?
No. Yeah. Anyway, and so we've all started doing that at the start of meals. And it's lovely. They express real gratitude.
And are you, because you had reservations early on, are you glad now that you've taken in an exchange
It is a little bit tiring because we are still on our best behaviour. If I want to tell the kids off, I'm like, you little, like, I'm like, really?
You've got to text at them in capitals.
Why do you keep dragging family members out into the backyard?
So it is, there's a different level of stress in the house, but it's also very rewarding. Anyway, she has to give a presentation at school today in her English class, a PowerPoint presentation about her family and her life in Japan. So I said to her, you should practice. Show us the presentation to practice. And also, I also want to learn more about her family and where she comes from and her interests.
How much they earn.
Oh, my God. So she ran through the PowerPoint presentation and she had a photo of her family members. She has two brothers, Her mother is a good cook. And then she said, and father is singer. And then at the end of the presentation, I said, oh, your father is singer. And she said, yes, father is singer.
Right.
And I said, oh, I thought he was an electrician.
Yeah.
Previously, you've said he's an electrician. I said, he's a singer. Like, where does he sing? Is he a good singer?
Is he in a band?
In a band?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she just kept saying, father is singer. Yeah. And she's giggling. She's laughing. She can't stop laughing.
Yeah.
And then the girls cotton on. Her father's name is singer.
Oh.
Right.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, but you can't have the name singer and not sing. Come on.
Yeah.
So he's an electrician.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
A couple of months ago, we awarded Adelaide's Greatest. We had thousands of you vote for your favourites in all different categories. And then we went out and visited them. And it was such a fun experience.
It was really was, with some great winners. Adelaide's Greatest at Bar Pub or Club was corked in Port Adelaide. Cafe Restaurant was the Golden Cup in Brighton. Gym or Fitness Service was Benna Fitness in Fairview Park. Hair or Beauty Service was Tincture in Cowandilla. And the best takeaway was Green Acres Charcoal Chicken.
Yeah, there's 145,700 small businesses in South Australia. They employ something like 350,000 of us. So you really do need to support them. So we thought, we did this a couple of months ago, so we thought it might be nice just to check in and see how they're getting on.
You're the greatest in town.
Hello.
Oh, g'day, Raya. It's Bet, Cozzy and Limo from SAFM. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, thank you.
Yeah, we're just checking in to see how the Golden Cup's going.
It is going fabulously. Thank you. It's going really good.
Have you noticed more customers since you won Adelaide's Greatest Cafe?
Yes.
You know what? We actually have, and everyone is still congratulating us, which is lovely.
I know you've got the Adelaide Greatest Certificate.
The really pretty certificate.
Yes.
And I did acknowledge that at the time and said, if you want to just put it out the back in the kitchen or the toilet, that was okay.
It's still on display. For us. It's probably going to go down when we do our renovations, though. Sorry.
Yeah. So has the SAFM exposure been that good that you're now having to knock the place down and make it even bigger?
Do you know what? Absolutely.
Good morning. This is Darren Saul.
If only I could, I'd make a deal with Darren and I'd get him to sign you right up.
Darren, has she been doing that every day since we met you at SAFM?
It's amazing now. Every time I hear it on SAFM, it brings back
nightmares.
Sweet memories.
How's it all going?
It's going very well. We could not have been happier with the response that we got from the exposure that we had for the day. We can't thank SAFM enough. We've actually noticed a nice little spike in inquiry, so we're very grateful.
Michael, how are you, mate?
Good morning. I'm great.
How has life been since you received the award?
Oh, look, you know, we're super excited about it. We've actually been on a bit of a crazy whirlwind ever since. Quite a few remarkable things happened. We've been nominated for a National Small Business Award with the ANZ Bank, which has been really, really good.
And you've had a visit from the South Aussie with Cozzy crew, Birdie told me.
We only deal with royalty now, if you don't mind.
Let's get cooked.
Hey, g'day, Sandy. It's Bet, Cozzy and Limo here. How you going?
Hey, guys.
Sandy, we're just checking in to see how Cork Wine Bar's been going and how's business.
Yeah, we're cruising along. Everybody's loving themselves sick and happy with themselves. All my customers are very proud of themselves for having their favourite bar.
Yeah.
Hey, Con, we're just calling to check in to see how the chickens go.
How you going, guys? Yeah, really good.
Have you noticed people coming in and saying that they're there because they heard you on the radio?
Yes, and they've been wanting the coleslaw too.
Oh.
We're just getting amazing feedback. People are just coming in and saying, we heard about it on the radio. We're actually getting a lot of love. We're getting a lot of really good positive comments and, you know, it makes us feel really good. It makes us feel wanted. It obviously helps business. That's a positive part. That's a fantastic part. It's really good to be recognised that way.
Thank you, guys. It's wicked sick. Thanks for ringing.
Thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You certainly helped us. We couldn't be more thankful.
Well, our thanks goes to all the people that voted and nominated the businesses that they love here in South Australia. And remember, do what you can to support South Australian business. Mm-hmm. Every dollar you spend is so powerful. Make sure it goes through the tills of an SA business.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Oh, I mean, sometimes we just have to, you know, step up and say to each other, you've got to watch what you're doing around town. Now, Rebecca Morse, for 4 long years, we've been complaining about your parking ability.
Oh, no.
It's just been horrendous. You admit it yourself quite openly. Your recent activity at Westlake Shopping Centre really did take the cake.
I'm going to have to strike Westlakes Westfield off my list of places to park because there was a very long line for the boom gate. And I was like, hang on a minute, what are these clowns doing? There are three boom gates to get out.
Oh,
I'm smarter than this. Yeah. So I go around to the middle boom gate.
Yeah.
And then I realise the two boom gates on the right are to get in.
To get in.
Yeah.
So I'm now stuck. Oh, just as I start my three-point turn, two cars come in, one for either boom gate.
No.
Well, I didn't do the three-point turn. I just did the reverse of shame.
Yes.
But then I had to reverse in front of all the people who I'd cut past to the front of the other boom gate.
They're like, oh, she's coming back. You know, our job here at this station is to try to get along with our listeners and be admirable citizens here in South Australia.
Indeed. And wouldn't it have been horrible if someone had recognised you?
I was just praying. I have my head down.
Out of the, oh, my God, look, there's someone on the phone. Oh, who is this?
No, I'm so embarrassed.
Luke from Royal Park. Good morning, mate.
Good morning. How are you?
Luke, this is your chance, mate, just to vent your anger and tell us exactly what happened.
Oh, Luke.
I honestly could not believe it. I pulled into the middle lane and I'm waiting for the boom gate and I'm like to my partner, would you look at this absolute peanut trying to pass six cars in the middle lane? And I was like, of course. We pull up to the gate and I could see her just head down, laughing her head off.
Oh, laughing.
Put her in the front seat, head down, everyone's embarrassed. And then she does the 6-point reverse. And I was like, have a look at this. She's going to make it back to the Coles entrance.
Luke, I was then, so embarrassed.
Now, let him speak, Beck. Let him speak. Keep going, Luke. It's your time.
And then as I pull up, I put my ticket. We get the ticket and we're waiting. And I'm like, oh, no way. She's actually coming back. This is game. She pulls up, puts her ticket in. I was like, no way. Zoe, I was like, you know who that is? That's Beck from The Breakfast Show I listen to every morning. And I was like, give me your phone. I need to message Cozzy as soon as possible.
And this is where I step in. Lukey boys flicked me a message and he said, hey, Cozzy, my name's Luke. I'm borrowing my partner's social medias to message you. I don't have social media, but you need to know this. And I love this part about your message, Luke, and it made me smile so much. Upon entering the Westlakes shopping car park today, I was stunned to see a young blonde woman.
Thank you, Luke. I'll take that.
Oh, it gets better. Beck, holding up traffic as she thought it was possible to use her celebrity status to try to exit the car park boom gates through the entry point.
I'm just a bad driver, Luke. It's not that I think I'm better than the other boom gates.
You can't turn an entry into an exit with your celebrity status, Rebecca Morse.
I was laughing, but I was laughing out of sheer embarrassment that I could not believe what I had done.
And Luke, was there a red face on Beck at all, or was it just laughter the whole way?
Oh, she had a big bright smile and a red face and her head down. You couldn't miss it.
Oh, Luke, you can understand now, mate, why we don't let her drive the SAFM Black Thunders.
100%.
Lucky I came clean with that story.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you would have...
No, it would have been much better to get it first hand off Luke. Luke, you're a legend. And thank you for sharing that story. If ever you see Beck out and about again, please call us immediately.
Oh, will do. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Luke.
I love it.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Beck, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
She is possibly the worst driver in South Australia.
That was a bad moment.
This absolute peanut.
just one more. To think one of our listeners describes you as this.
Would you look at this absolute peanut?
it's a stinging review.
It was probably my worst example of bad driving in my driving career.
But this morning we want to celebrate bad parking.
No, you
you're
don't.
Not. Yes, we do. You're not alone. You're not the only one, Beck. Yeah. We want to celebrate it this morning. Give us a call on 131060.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst example of parking you've ever seen?
Even driving.
Or driving.
Yeah, or driving.
Wrong way down the freeway.
Do you know what? And I know you probably shouldn't say this, but when someone drives up the Oban track the wrong way, when they go down over near kind of like where Melbourne Street is there, it just makes me chuckle because I want to know who the person was.
Also,
I love seeing a photo because I try in my head to guess what type of person that would be.
So many signs on the Oban. I feel like even I couldn't do that.
Yeah, that's tough to do that one. Sometimes people park in houses. Have you noticed that?
Just accelerate instead of the brake.
Off the street and park in the side of a house. The one that kills me, and this happens a bit, it's called parallel parking, right? Because your car is meant to be parallel to the curb.
That's the whole theory
behind it. Yeah, you'll see a car with the front wheel jammed into the curb and the back wheel 6 feet off the curb. I can't walk past it.
That's called oblique parking.
I have to stop and say to Kettle,
how did that
person get out of that car and go, nailed it,
yeah,
and then get on with their day? infuriating.
That was probably me. Mm. And spare a thought for the Mercedes driver who's in the paper today. Their car got jammed in park at a boat ramp, and then the tide came in and then washed the boat into the back of the car and smashed the back window.
How come they couldn't get it out before the tide came in?
The gear got jammed.
Yeah, I know, but like you think you just pull it out.
Well, I didn't have time. Kevin from Jepps Cross, what's the worst driving or parking you've ever seen?
So my ex-partner wanted to turn left from a two-lane roundabout but was in the wrong lane. So I told her to go right around the roundabout.
Yes.
Yep.
She went to go into oncoming traffic on the roundabout.
She went to turn left. Yeah, right. Because technically, Kevin, you can only ever turn left at a roundabout, can't you?
Correct.
So, Kevin, you basically said to her, well, honey, go right around the roundabout. And then she's turned right, straight into oncoming traffic.
Into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Women, who gave us licenses? Am I right?
Well, I wonder if someone saw that, how they would describe it.
Potentially.
Would you look at this absolute peanut?
That is so good, Kevin. You've made my day.
Thank you, Kevin.
Nice
good
work. Look, hey, we'll take some more calls. So what we're after here on 131060 is just a bad case of driving or parking that you've seen.
And is I remember when my dad was teaching my brother how to drive, and when he was on his L's, and we're on a dirt road near Kadena, and there was like a straight road, dirt road, and then there was like a wide junction. So you could either go left or right.
Mm.
And Dad said, and one was a bit more straight on the other. Dad just said to my brother, okay, here just drive straight on. So instead of turning left or right, my brother just drove straight on into the bushes. And Dad's like, what are you doing? He's like, you said go straight on.
He follows instructions well. There's no doubt about that.
Would you look at this absolute peanut?
Michelle in Edwardstown, what's the worst driving or parking you've ever seen?
Sunday night, Military Road, Henley Beach Road, roundabout. I was about to enter it and couldn't because someone had entered it anti-clockwise.
Was that person's name Rebecca Morse?
I look nervous because I drive that road a lot, but I've never done that.
Would you look at this absolute peanut?
Thank you, Michelle.
What about Nikki there from St. Agnes? What happened to you, bud?
I refused to parallel park.
Mm. Oh, you just won't do it?
No, won't do it. I did it twice when I got my driver's license, admitted to my driving instructor that I fluked it both times, and I've never done it again. Right, I'll park a million miles away.
Oh, right. Mm. Do you ever sort of vertical park in a parallel park?
No.
No, right,
I just don't even attempt it. Like, I've even had arguments with my passenger, stopped the car, gotten out, and they've done it because they didn't want to walk so far.
Yeah. Hey, Nikki, if it makes you feel any better, my wife often calls me from the car and I have to come out of the house, get in the car, and reverse park the car out the front. So
I would like some gender balance. I would like some calls about men driving badly, please.
Sure.
Fiona in Campbelltown, what's your story?
Hi, Beck, Cosie and Limo. I spotted a Holden Commodore driving down North Terrace towards Goodwood Road and Anzac Highway. It was a guy driver with a bunch of other young passengers.
Yes.
And they couldn't decide whether they were going left towards Goodwood Road or right.
That's a hard one. That's West Terrace.
West Terrace. And there's like a median strip in between. That's like a bit of a, like almost like a triangle shape.
Yes.
And they couldn't decide, and they actually drove straight through the medium strip and actually wedged their car.
Would you look at this absolute peanut?
I think I told you this when I went down to Roseworthy College. We started coming to the city, so it's all the country boys from Roseworthy College. Had no idea about anything in the city, and this guy, one of my mates, Benny, was driving. Richo was in the passenger seat. I was in the back with another guy called Jerry, and we were going to go shopping. So we've pulled off North Terrace, and we're looking for a car park, and then we drive down towards Rundle Mall in this old beat up VB Commodore, brown Commodore, and then Ben just drives. He's like, "Oh, it's weird how the road goes funny here." And went out in the mall.
Driven onto the mall.
Yeah, and I'm like, "Mate, this is like a footpath or something." And so then we've just slowly just driven across the mall looking for a car park.
And all these pedestrians haven't even waited for the zebra crossing. Beck, Cosie and Limo. SAFM.